This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Dan Hurley. The nonprofit organization All We Are has a mission to solarize more than 50 schools in Uganda by the year 2025. The organization's worked in the country for the last 8 years and is supported in its efforts by Rotary Clubs here in the United States and in Uganda. All We Are founder and CEO Nathan Thomas and Deborah Schultz, president of Trans Border Solutions and current board member of the Rotary Club of Cincinnati, recently spoke with Dan Hurley about the Solarize Uganda Now, or SUN, project.
Well, Nathan Thomas from All We Are and Deborah Schultz with the Rotary Club, welcome to Cincinnati Edition. It's really good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks, Dan.
Nate, and just to get started, the organization is All We Are, is the title of it. What's the mission?
Okay, well, that's a great question, Dan. Maybe it'd be best if I sort of take you down the path and let you know how this all came together, and that really sort of defined who I am as a person today, but the mission of the organization. And okay. So in the beginning, I guess you could say it started with my parents immigrating from Kerala, India to Toronto, Canada in the early 90s. And this is where my brother and sister and I were born. And so I think you could say the global DNA was sort of entwined in who we are from an early age. And so if we rewind to 2009, I was a high school student living in Findlay, Ohio, and I wanted to make an impact on an international level. So I looked into the ways I could utilize my talents and passion to help people in need. And out of this came the framework for a computer project to support education in Africa. And so at the time, I knew nothing about development work, and I cold emailed several nonprofits that I found through searching on Google. I didn't really hear back from any of them, but luckily through the support of local Rotary Clubs, I was able to launch a Computers for Kampala initiative. And this was a small personal project that I did when I was in high school. And so in 2010, I attended the University of Cincinnati and studied mechanical engineering. And these were really crucial years for our organization. So during this time, I developed my passion and initiative into the nonprofit that today is called All We Are, greatly with the support of Deborah's Rotary Club, the Cincinnati Rotary Club. And so it was my first visit to the club in 2012 that, you know, chance would have it that I met Deborah, and she played a vital role in this founding story of our organization and really continues to support us in tremendous ways today.
Well, let me get Deborah involved in this. Deborah, it's not just you have an interest in international, global issues, but Rotary, that's part of Rotary's mission as well. And many people may not know that if they're not directly involved.
Rotary clubs are enjoined to provide service to our members, service to our club, service, great service to the communities that we live in. But we're also asked to provide international service. And that means partnering with clubs overseas, oftentimes ones that you hear about or ones that you meet at the international conventions we hold, both in the United States and overseas, and then finding out what the need is and seeing if you jointly can do a project.
So I know that one of the things that Rotary has been absolutely essential is the systematic attack on worldwide polio, and really is down now to certain areas in three countries. But that is something Rotary has been committed to for literally for decades.
Yes, and we've partnered with, you know, some tremendous groups like the Gates Foundation to get to the point where we will no longer have polio in the world. So yes, that's something else that I think most people don't always realize about Rotary.
And Nate, for you, you had this interaction with Deborah and also with Rotary, and I think it's the Cincinnati Rotary, but also the Middletown Rotary, and
Raleigh Rotary is Nate's home club.
Yes, but what's your home club?
Cincinnati. I live in Cincinnati.
Okay.
I've been a Cincinnati Rotarian proudly for 26 years now.
Okay. All right. So what did the Cincinnati Rotary do for you, Nate, to sort of get you to the next stage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess just going off of what Deborah said, Rotary does so much in our communities here at home and then internationally. But another thing Rotary teaches us is how to be good about doing good. And so in these early years of our organization, we learned the best practices of international development that we learned through Rotary International. So with the focus on sustainability, stewardship, empowering local economies, you know, with this understanding, we became poised to create the tangible change. And not to mention that many of our early projects were supported through the international efforts of the Cincinnati Rotary Club. And so it was through learning about empowering these local communities and local buy-in that I began to understand the importance of first asking people what they need before you start a project. And with this new understanding, came to focus on sort of, I guess you could say, shift from this computer initiative that initially started it with two supporting issues surrounding infrastructure for education. So our flagship project is our SUN program, which brings solar power to schools. And we've continued to have these conversations and learning with these local communities and have incorporated women's empowerment and now even a clean water initiative.
Well, before we get into all the details, mm-hmm. how did you get focused on Uganda? Why? I mean, Africa is a big place with lots of countries. Why mm-hmm. Uganda? What led you there?
So for me, I had interest in working in Africa and didn't know where to start. You know, I didn't have family members in Africa or any connections to working with organizations over there. And it was, again, just through chance, things aligning, that I was able to get in contact with some Rotarians and even a organization that's based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that had that supported a school in Kampala, Uganda. So this computer project I started supported this organization's work in Kampala. And, you know, from there, it's just taken off into other avenues supporting other things in Uganda.
And interestingly enough, the school that Nate finally found to take his computers after trying for a long time is now a school that his All-We-Are organization runs.
So the
woman who started it retired, and All-We-Are is taken over.
Okay, so you're actually running the school. And
correct. From a strategic perspective, supporting the school on more of a I guess you could say, a detailed view versus now where typical work for us looks like higher level strategic infrastructure projects at a number of different schools around the country.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the sort of what, you know, moving from that computer program to the solar program. So talk a little bit about the role that solar power plays in what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I went to Uganda in 2011. So I had been focusing on this computer program for 1 to 2 years prior to this trip. When I went to Uganda, I saw that the school could barely afford to keep these computers running with electricity, grid power electricity, just for the 1 week I was there. Not to mention there was rolling blackouts, a lot of areas didn't even have access to electricity. So by going there and getting a firsthand view and talking with the local communities about what the need is, I realized that for the biggest impact I can have is to focus on basic necessities, and there's several things that come before computers. And so that shift led us to focus on bringing lights so that communities aren't relying on kerosene, which is dangerous and expensive, or charcoal, and adding extra hours in the day and in the night
so
to study and learn at the schools.
So from what I understand here is that, okay, the electric systems in Kampala, and Kampala is a city. We're not talking about being out in the rural area. Even in that large
Correct.
City, rolling blackouts. So what was the source of power? Was it hydro? What were they using to generate their power, which clearly was insufficient, but what was it, what was the source of their power?
Virtually all of Uganda, at least from a grid power perspective, is powered through, like you mentioned, hydropower dams. And to give you like a little example, I think in North Carolina, I pay something like 10 or 12 cents per kilowatt hour. And in Uganda, a kilowatt hour is roughly 40 or 45 U.S. cents. So it's very expensive and very unreliable. And you mentioned, you know, in Kampala, there might be access to it. But when you get out into these areas of greater need with these rural populations and communities, there's little to no infrastructure set up for them to even have electricity if they would have the financial capability to afford it.
So let me, Deborah, in the situation with Rotary, are you aware, is Rotary involved in similar sorts of efforts, whether in Africa or other places in the country, in the world, to bring, to regularize the power situation?
This is our solar power project that we're getting ready to do in this district in Butambala. But we have two people in our club that's led a marvelous project with a local group called Caring Response Madagascar, and they're doing sanitation work in Madagascar through global grants and through the support of individuals in our club. So we do all kinds of things. I mean, we've done wells before. Mm-hmm. We have not done solar until really Nate came into our bailiwick.
Okay. So is solar something that you learned about at UC when you were an engineering student?
It was something that we learned sort of the principles on. I studied mechanical engineering, so obviously the focus was a little bit different, but definitely we utilized resources at University of Cincinnati in those early days, figuring out how to design these systems, where to get components like panels and batteries, and this was actually a senior design project that I did at UC. So definitely the years spent at UC were put to good use in helping formulate the solar program.
So what have you been able to accomplish in the years you've been working in Uganda? I know starting out in Kampala, but now moving out into the rural areas, what have you been actually able to, on this energy electricity front, been actually able to deliver for people?
Mm-hmm. So our program will bring indoor lights to classrooms, to dormitories, as well as security lights for the perimeter and campus of the schools. And so today we've partnered with several great Rotary clubs around the country, actually now at this point, and that's resulted in access to renewable energy for 18 Ugandan schools. So we've gone as far east as the border of Uganda and Kenya, as far west as the border of Uganda and DRC, and everywhere in between. And so these efforts are creating infrastructure and the ability to study and learn for a part of the world where nearly 50% of the population is under the age of 15.
So, can I interject just one thing, too? When Nate works with these schools, I mean, it's fantastic to see the videos when he works with these schools. But this is a project that has resonance with people. It's a project that's fairly easy to explain to people. We're going into a school. We're going to put in solar. It's going to give them light inside and out. It gives them security. It gives the students longer time to study. It may make it possible for adults to have literacy programs in the evening. It has even sanitation implications because they're more likely, if there are lights outside at night, because many of these are boarding schools, that they'll use the restroom, you know, mm-hmm. the way they should. I mean, it's got a lot of implications. But what I think has been really interesting in the Rotary world is you go to Rotary clubs, and there are clubs in our district that are supporting this, including Middletown is one of the clubs. And you talk to them about this project, and they sort of get it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something that's so far out that they can't get it. And so they're willing to support it.
Well, Nate, one of the questions is not only Rotary clubs in the United States getting it, has your work sort of inspired people in Uganda, either Rotary clubs there to pick this up and sort of see the potential of solar beyond just what you're delivering and what you're installing?
Definitely. Yeah. So all of our projects are driven from the local community, and we partner with the host club, host Rotary Club in Kampala, the Rotary Club of Natiti Kampala. So they're involved with our needs assessment and helping us find these schools in need for us to work with. The entire district in Uganda is very interested in seeing how they can implement this with relationships that other clubs have in different areas. The district in Uganda for Rotary is actually Uganda and Tanzania. And so we've gotten interest from other people who are looking to learn from what we've done and use that as a model for their community. So we're hoping to see duplication of our efforts for an even greater good in areas that we haven't even imagined possible.
And this project that we're doing now with the large amount of money from Rotary Club of Cincinnati and with Nate's club and his district and our district really is going to do more than just solar in the schools. It looks like we'll put solar in 5 or maybe 6 schools. We're going to have 3 solar-powered wells. We're going to put solar in a medical clinic in the small village in this district. And we're also going to be able to provide refrigeration for vaccines in that particular clinic, and I'm working on a project to raise enough money so that a lot of the kids don't have textbooks. There are not textbooks for each child in these schools, and so we're hoping to raise some money and buy some textbooks in Uganda, to support the local economy and to give people what they want and need.
Nate, with the solar energy, and then we're going to move on to some of your other projects, but with the solar energy, have you found it dependable? And secondly, what about the batteries that you're able to install besides the panels? What about storage capability to stretch out the availability of power during periods when maybe it's not the batteries, the panels aren't generating enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. Yeah, so we buy all our components and products locally in Uganda, and It's very reliable in that Uganda is on the equator and they receive several hours of sunlight every single day. All our systems are battery driven. So, you know, if they have a cloudy day or 2 cloudy days, we're able to account for that through the battery driven systems. But I think really the question you're asking there is the sustainability, maybe past, you know, is there light there? But, you know, what happens down the road 1 year, 2 years, or even further on, if repairs need to be made? So one of the benefits of working locally and having a local team is if any of these 18 schools have issues, we have a team of 10 or so electricians in Uganda that will dispatch one of them out to fix any of the issues. They make term-based inspections. So 3 times a year, they're starting to travel to each of the schools and make sure everything's working well. The batteries are charging correctly. The solar panels on these roofs are clean. The inverters are working well, you name it. So I think so. The sustainability is key in making any project work, but focusing on solar power in Uganda, a country on the equator that receives nearly 10 hours of sunlight a day, it's, you know, like Deborah was mentioning, a solution that just makes sense.
Well, you've hinted at some other expansion initiatives that you've gotten into because of what people need, what people want. One of them is the area of women's empowerment. What does that mean concretely?
Right. So what it means is when we started evaluating the success of our solar project, we realized that In several of these schools, there are young girls who are missing up to 1 week of school every month. And so through this, we realized that whatever capacity or infrastructure we bring to these schools, these girls are not going to have a fighting chance if they miss 1/4 of the year. And so we need to level the playing field, and this obstacle in preventing these girls from coming to school was really just that they didn't have female personal hygiene products like pads and sanitary pads and things like that. So we created a program to buy these resources locally and provide training each month, education to the girls at these different schools. So that's sort of where the women's empowerment came in, from listening to the local economy and seeing what are the additional needs after we put in some infrastructure, and that was one of them.
There are also women on the team that install these panels. which I think is unusual. We sort of try to always, I think, as we're stereotyping African women when we say, you know, make clothes, make beads, but they can also do other things. And so Nate's included women in the team that goes in for the installations.
For the construction installation part of this.
Yeah.
So is the whole on the personal hygiene products, is that running into cultural norms that you have to sort of do some re-education or expansion education ideas about? Or is it just they lacked the materials to handle this?
A little bit of both, where they the resources aren't there, but you're definitely right when you mentioned that the cultural issues, you know, it's definitely a taboo topic in a country like Uganda. And so we have a coordinator who is Ugandan, who lives in Uganda, who each month is traveling to these schools to do these distributions of the pads and educational material. But we've definitely found that.
The other extension of the basic project that you've mentioned a couple of times are water programs. And you've mentioned it in terms of solar water wells. How does solar interface with wells, digging wells, providing water?
Okay, so the digging of the wells and whatnot, that's still done in the traditional sense where, you know, you have a drilling rig and all the setup you need to create the well. But in lots of areas of Uganda and elsewhere in the world, if you don't have access to water, chances are the solution is a well, but the water might be quite a ways under the earth. And so what we've found is that you need some sort of pumping system to bring this water up. It could be 20 meters, it could be 100 meters, it could be 120 meters, or even further. And so in these areas that need water, lots of times it's lacking altogether in infrastructure, and they wouldn't even have grid power to pump these wells. And as I mentioned, it's expensive and unreliable and creates an additional problem. So by using solar power to power the wells, we're able to create consistency there where the water can be pumped every day. There won't be any issues of, power's out this week, no water for the entire community. It helps create the sustainability and consistency that we want.
Any exploration of micro-lending programs?
That's something that we have looked into and learned a little bit about, but currently our focus is with education and focusing on creating resources for students. But I think you're touching on a topic that's very, very key, where lots of times these students are graduating and they're looking for employment and it might not present itself to them. So I do think that micro-lending and creating these opportunities might be something that we consider down the road.
I've got one final question to get both of you into this. Nate, what's the projection for the next, say, 3 to 5 years? What are your goals in this project?
So our goal with our program overall is to electrify 50 schools in Uganda by 2025. So we're at 18 now, and with the project that we're working on with Deborah's Rotary Club and my Rotary Club, we're hoping that number will be up there by 25. So we're really going to focus then on the latter 25 that we need to hit our target of 50 schools electrified by 2025. In that, we're going to continue to support with this women's empowerment project, with the clean water, and everyday work to optimize and innovate our programs.
And Deborah, what's the level of commitment that your club has?
Well, I don't know specifically about our club. I mean, they've been supportive all along. I hope that they continue to support, you know, putting solar in schools. But we want to go out with this, what we're calling the 25-25 SUN initiative. So SUN stands for Solarize Uganda Now. And so we're hoping to find 25 Rotary clubs that are each one willing to do one school. And that'll be our next big push, because 50 is a sizable number.
Well, I want to thank both Nathan Thomas with the All We Are organization that has been working in Uganda and doing lots of things to solarize women's empowerment and wells, and also Deborah Schultz representing the local Rotary, and that has been so supportive of this effort over the years. So thank you to both for not only being here with us today, but also for the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
Dan Hurley talking with All We Are founder and CEO Nathan Thomas and Trans Border Solutions president and Rotary Club of Cincinnati director Deborah Schultz about efforts to bring solar power to a village in Uganda. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Today's technical director was Josh Elstro. Our intern is Layla Shakui. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Dan Hurley. Here and Now is next.